Hello there, faithful listener. This is Darren with a special small voice feature for you. As we mentioned in our most recent podcast, our roving reporter Margaret has been out and about once again, finding some more voices who may be small, but are making a big difference. This month, Margaret tells us all about a charity currently celebrating its 10th birthday.
Back in May, I had an invitation from a friend to an event organised by Amplifying Voices in the town of Duns in the Scottish Borders, where she lives. I had never heard of Amplifying Voices before, but I picked up that it was something to do with radio and community, and I thought it would be a good story for Small Voice. Well, I'll let you judge that for yourselves as we hear from John, Alex and Johnny about Amplifying Voices, which is celebrating its 10th birthday this year. John Hargreaves is one of the founders, and on a lovely sunny afternoon, we sat in the garden surrounded by trees and birdsong, and I heard where the idea came from and how it took shape.
My background is a journalist, and I grew up in Africa, as you can probably hear from my accent. Had a lot of experience in local media, international media, worked for an international Christian radio broadcaster, lived in Africa and Asia for many years. One of the things that really inspired me, as I saw the power of media, I also saw the power of community. We lived in Central Asia. We started getting involved in community media projects. And so that was where I started to get an interest in how local media could be used, particularly to help people have conversations and to use the local media to give people a voice. So then I decided, okay, I need to go back to university. And I ended up in Australia in a public health faculty, learning about public health, which is very holistic, but also then put a spin on media and using, how do we use media to bring about social and behaviour change to improve health benefits. I went back to the organisation I was working with, started to work in places like Nepal and India and Afghanistan and the Middle East, and really was a journey of learning. My background was very much in the beginning, big power transmitters broadcasting to, you know, out to communities and, you know, telling people information, and this was about actually giving people on the ground the opportunity to air their own voices. So that was really how we started, and we started literally with a blank sheet of paper. Gradually invitations came to say, could you come and help us? One of our first projects was actually during the Syrian war, when refugees were flooding across the border into Lebanon. Many of those refugees were arriving having lost everything, not knowing what to do, and of course the world was sort of scrabbling, how do we help these people? And radio was identified as one of the key ways in which information could be provided to them, but also to help them communicate what they needed. And so we set up a radio response based in Lebanon, but broadcasting through powerful medium wave transmitters through the internet and in real time. And so that was really our launch project. And gradually, more and more projects came in Africa and in other parts of Asia. And so it's been a remarkable journey for the last 10 years.
10 years on then, Amplifying Voices is now a registered Scottish charity, with Johnny Fisher developing a presence from his home in Duns. I asked him what his work involved.
Amplifying Voices exists because we want to see communities living life in all its fullness. And that's free from poverty, injustice and conflict. So that means that we're probably working with communities where those kind of situations have arisen. What we do is we work with those communities, equip them with media tools so that community members and service providers can be talking with each other, listening to each other, and then from that probably taking action together or getting other people to take action on their behalf. Mm-hmm. Our role tends to be that we are doing training courses or media workshops so that community members and service providers learn how they could make media themselves and how they could make the content in a way that is much more relevant to the community members that are going to be listening. We can do a workshop 1 week and then we go away again, but really people learn on the job, and the things they thought they knew when they were in the workshop, it doesn't work like that in real life. So we want to accompany people and walk with them on their journey as they learn to use media, but not just learning to use media, but how they actually begin to develop as a community because of the talking and listening stuff and the action that happens as a result. the goal is that, you know, when local people are really enthused about the approach, that they're able to take that approach and pass it on to others. And that's what we've seen in South Sudan and Uganda. So it was actually started in Uganda with South Sudanese refugees. They spoke enough English, or the people that were getting excited about the approach spoke enough English to grasp it, and they grasped really well. And then I was watching the work that they were doing, because this was during COVID time. I couldn't go back and visit them, and they were getting fed up waiting for me to come back and visit them. So they just got on and did their own training courses, and they ran them, and they showed me the slides that they'd done. They showed me some of the kind of exercises they'd done. And I thought, wow, I can see that you've clearly understood the approach that, that we advocate for, and you've made it your own, and you've made it really work. You know, and that's exciting for a couple of reasons. Exciting because it kind of vindicates what we do. Sometimes you look at these ideas and you think, these are great ideas, but does it really work? And then we're seeing, yes, it really does work where they are. And then the other thing is that we don't always have to be there. This whole idea of community-centeredness, community-centered media, what we're doing when we do this is assuming the community has inbuilt strengths. And if you're assuming the community has inbuilt strengths, you're assuming the community is able to take this and run with it themselves and develop it for themselves and make it their own. And to see that happening too is really exciting. But in Pakistan, the thing that's really worked there is relationship, and relationship takes time. So it's not about expanding really quickly, or, you know, going to lots and lots of different communities. It's about being with a community for long enough for that community to realize you meant what you said 10 years ago when you said we're here with you for the long term. And so in that sense, it doesn't expand fast, but it goes deep, you know, and the relationships mean something. In Pakistan, our partner is a Christian. It's Amplifying Voices Pakistan, and his staff team are Christians, but the communities that he started working in were not. They're part of traditional Pathan culture in Khyber Pakhtunkhwa. So working with that group as Christians is challenging. This is where it was so important that he was there for the long term. So when he first arrived, when our partner Hazin first arrived in this village in Khyber Pakhtunkhwa, KPK for short, they were very suspicious of him. In fact, one guy chased him out with a rifle and said, "No, you're not coming back here." And that guy ended up being the champion for the project because he, you know, as he watched and he said, "No, you're serious. You know, you're doing what you said you would do. And actually, you're here to help our people. You're not here to promote your Christianity or convert us all in that sense. And so we trust you." And so they invited him to, and they became, you know, good friends. It's not straightforward, but that kind of stickability of relationship is what's really important.
And now over to Alex Stout, who co-founded the organisation along with John Hargreaves. I asked him what's distinctly different about Amplifying Voices in comparison with some other longer established broadcasters.
Myself and John, the other founder, we had both been part of a radio mission that was going through significant change, but also I think because we both had a drive for what we'd seen happening by using a number of the principles that we'd learned from the group called HCR, Health Communication Resources, almost like public health principles, but using media. So like finding out what the issues were within a community, problem trees, mapping, looking at the resources within a community, and actually applying media to be the bridge, really, between the different groups that maybe in difficult places you've got NGOs as well as, you know, local stakeholders and wisdom in the community. A lot of these things are often not joined up, whereas through media you can join up. You hear stories from people, you get to know a bit more, and somebody else goes, "Oh, I know a bit about that," or, "That makes sense to me. Actually, I was thinking that. This is interesting. I'll go and find that person," or whatever it may be. We'd seen that, and we'd seen that working quite well within communities. So we'd both been involved in international radio, where it had kind of been, "We've got a great message for you," rather than, "Okay, let's walk alongside and let's hear what the needs are within the community and take down the barriers and go, okay, we want to listen to you first and see if we can assist you doing stuff here in the community." And I'd been running a project in Iraq. We'd been in for doing training and stuff. And just the effect that taking these principles and applying them to was effectively my team there, and really getting involved locally rather than sitting in the studio in the station and, you know, going through scripture and giving stories and having call-ins and all that kind of stuff. Actually getting out among the people with a handheld recorder like you have, and just hearing stories and really listening to people's hearts and making that connection. And that was so much more powerful.
In terms of working in partnership and communities, how do you get the contacts? Where do you start?
That's a really good question. Sometimes I think, how on earth did these people get in contact with us? How did they find us? And I can only believe it's inspiration, it's God-inspired. And I know that's the sort of, this is a proper Christian answer, but really, how on earth some of these groups find us, it's difficult. I mean, I guess it's through the internet and those kind of things, but sometimes it's word of mouth. So somebody might be in a community doing something else and somebody expresses a desire to do something with media. I mean, for some of the projects, it's been radio stations and they've had an excitement about a local FM station. But sometimes it's been other communities recognising, well, there's no chance of getting a licence for in certain countries, but how else can we do media? And of course nowadays there's things like podcasts and stuff, or in more remote places where there's nothing like that, you can actually record onto SD cards and distribute them onto mobile phones or little speakers and stuff. For a lot of Africa, as the mobile phone explosion has happened and things like WhatsApp is all over the place. And even though we've got to pay for data in the UK and Europe, and of course for most of Africa, you do as well. But WhatsApp did this sort of deal in a number of countries where you've got a number of either WhatsApp messages or minutes that you get for free. So that was a way of getting, a particular company's SIM card. And so some of the training we've been able to do actually over WhatsApp. So during COVID, it became quite busy and given ideas and using technology and leveraging technology. So we became a wee bit more technology consultants alongside doing principles for media and how best to reach communities. So, yeah, that was interesting to actually do that kind of thing. And as technology has improved and the internet's improved in some places where, really, I mean, even 3 years ago, there was nothing. It's been interesting how the spread of technology has really actually helped. Having been involved in other mission things in the past where there have been this sort of idea of, reach a community or try and find particular people and then identify, the man of peace or whatever and befriend them and then tell them about Jesus. That's not a principle that we've used. So we go into a community, we're unashamedly Christian, we are here to help because we think everybody should have life in all its fullness. And sometimes demonstrating what it means to be a follower of Jesus practically and caring for people and helping them learn to do better for themselves and sometimes empowering them. It's been interesting coming alongside especially young people in rural Africa who really didn't believe in themselves. So everything had to come either from Nairobi or from overseas or whatever. They didn't really have the self-confidence to do stuff. But then showing them just sometimes some simple stuff and encouraging them to do things in workshops and then them coming back saying, oh, we can do this. Oh, that was good. And then helping each other and actually doing like positive critiques on like recordings and all that kind of stuff and going, okay, this is really good. This is really helpful. Hang on, you're Christians, and you're doing this, but this really helps. Yeah, yeah. The Lord really is interested in the whole of your life. We're Christians and we want to help you. We're not wanting Kenyans to become British Christians. So there's some of that kind of thing I think has been quite powerful, walking the walk and demonstrating what it means. Because there's a lot of countries and a lot of people in a lot of countries that feel, this post-colonial thing and this outside ideas and feel that some of these things are not local and they come from the West, but actually he's the God of creation and we can demonstrate that.
Having heard now from both the founders, I went back to Johnny Fisher, who joined about 4 years ago, having previously also been part of an international Christian broadcaster. What was the attraction for him of this different approach?
The work that I was doing before, the part of it that really got me excited about going to work was the part where we were working with local communities to see those communities improve their situation, and where it was the communities who were at the forefront. And there was only some of our work that was doing that. And actually, the projects where we were doing that were the projects that Amplifying Voices had been involved in, you know, or people from Amplifying Voices had been involved in the past. So I've got an idea of this community-centred approach. In parallel to that, I'd been looking at other community-led development type approaches. And for me, I just felt this is such a respectful way of working with people who are experiencing tough times, experiencing poverty. It doesn't feel like us coming down from on high, you know, paratrooping in to rescue the poor, helpless people, but actually it feels like coming alongside people in their hard time, but letting them take the lead. And I think I want to be respectful to people going through tough times because they're human beings like me. I have an engineering background, communication, making connections, that's also something that I'm enthused by it.
You're having a special event tonight in Duns in the Scottish Borders. Probably a lot of people, even in Scotland, will not be quite sure where Duns is. It's quite a small community here. Why Duns?
Why Duns? Well, Duns is where I live right now, and the Duns is where the people that I go to church with are, and the people I've come to know over the last 2 or 3 years in Scotland. They're the ones who have come to know about my work with Amplifying Voices. And we've just registered as a charity in Scotland. We've been, Amplifying Voices has been going for 10 years in Worthing in Sussex. But since I've moved up to Scotland, I felt it was right that we registered as a charity so that I could be proactive as Amplifying Voices representative in and around Scotland, or in and around Duns and Edinburgh and the Lowlands anyway, at least. We're celebrating that tonight. And I wanted to celebrate it with the people who've been on that part of the journey with me. And again, that's probably fits in with that whole community-centred approach of starting small, working small, starting with what's around you rather than trying to kind of immediately cover a whole country.
So after 10 years of applying that principle, how is Amplifying Voices doing? For a review of the story so far and a look at the future, I turned to John Hargreaves again and asked him if he felt they were making a difference.
I have a particular interest in conflict, not causing conflict, but how do we help reduce conflict? How do we build peace or transform conflict? Conflict's a natural part of life. How do we transform those communities into peaceful communities? So having seen how media has been used for good and ill, working alongside communities that have experienced conflict or have come through conflict, that is going to be for them to work through post-trauma and all of the stuff that goes alongside long after we've gone. And so we really do try to make sure that we are not a key part of continuing that project. It's all about the local communities. If it is all about them, it takes the onus off you to become large and powerful. And if it's locally sustainable, that means they are not dependent on us into the future. That means that we can use our resources to work with other communities. In eastern Kenya, towards the Somali border, there's a county called Tana River. And we were invited there because there was very bloody conflict after the election in 2013. And towards the general election and local elections in 2017, some people asked us if we could come and help them. The conflict was predominantly ethnic, and it was some of the key drivers were competing for limited resources, land and water. Clashes between communities that farmed cattle and communities that farmed the land. And so we started this project in August 2017. We helped with the infrastructure for setting up a community-centered radio station. We helped the communities to do this station together. So this wasn't a voice of one community or the other community. It was to help those communities have those conversations, difficult conversations. And there were all sorts of other issues related to poor health indicators, poor education, livelihoods. So the radio station has sort of handled a whole range of issues. But importantly, it's the local communities that have done it. And they've kept it going. So that radio station is locally sustainable. It's their project. We still continue to walk with them. We're there to help, to advise. I visit twice a year. We help with monitoring and evaluation, but that's how we do it. It's walking alongside. In India, we set that project up in 2018, working amongst tribal communities out in Maharashtra, very marginalized groups, feeling very cut off from mainstream Indian society. A lot of indicators of, you know, poor health, very high incidence of maternal deaths and infant mortality and poor education, really, really struggling. Local team had this vision to really begin to make an impact. In 2018, we helped them start a community-centered media project, but it wasn't about around a radio station. It was around these what we call speaker boxes, loudspeakers which have a small SD card, and regularly they make programs to help the conversation take place. We started in one village, and we evaluated the impact after a year to prove the concept. Is this going to work? And they are now in over 40 villages, and they're now moving on to a mobile app because they're trying to, you know, reach new communities, and they're taking the initiative. So we're the kind of accompanying partner. Local sustainability is so important to us.
Now, you've been going for 10 years. What's next?
There are two new projects that we're looking at. One of them is in a very poor country, but very much a, you know, lots of potential community. That's Zambia. Again, by invitation, we've been asked by a local group to help set up a local community-centered radio station. So we're in the process of working with the local community to set up the right legal framework within the Zambian constitution and all that sort of thing. The other one is a really difficult country. It's in Somalia, which has been racked by civil war. Al-Shabaab, which is a group of fundamentalists that are really trying to destabilize the whole country, and lots of internally displaced people as a result of the conflict, and of course a terrible drought that's devastated East Africa. The Zambian one is going to be a lot easier in terms of, we know it's a stable country, we know the partner really well, and Somalia is going to be a very challenging context. There's lots of opportunities to get involved, and it's a question of what are the things that we can really do make a difference. Somalia is probably going to be the most difficult project that we've ever undertaken, but we also don't want to just leave the partners that we've been working with, so we want to keep that accompaniment attitude, walking alongside, journeying alongside the local partner. We've had other people come to us in other countries and said, could you help us? And because we are small, we obviously can't respond to everything. But at the moment, I see probably we do need to grow a little bit, but we don't want to grow into a big organization. And it's hard enough for a charity to survive in this day and age anyway. But there's so many opportunities and there's so much need out there.
Indeed. A respectful approach, as Johnny mentioned earlier, with a desire to create peace out of conflict in a world which often seems determined to go the other way. My thanks then to Amplifying Voices founders John Hargreaves and Alex Stout, and Scottish associate Johnny Fisher. At smallvoice.org.uk, you can find more information about the organisation and a link to the website of Amplifying Voices, which includes an account of the evening I went to in May and news of the many projects they're supporting.